Good morning. Glad to be with you on this bright early Monday morning. I hope all is going well and you had a good week. We are in a new year, a brand new year, 2021. I have an external microphone today. I hope you can still hear me. My mother says I'm a low talker, and she's right. And plus, the house is quiet, so I just feel the extra need to be quiet. So, I have a different setup today. So hopefully, you can hear me very clearly. So, we are going to start in 2021 as I continue every week to ponder and ask God what He wants me to speak about. I felt like prayer is what he communicated, and I think that is such a much, obviously much needed thing, much needed. I think it's a wonderful thing to study. I do talk to people occasionally, and they say, "I don't know really how to pray. I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I just don't totally understand prayer." Now, I know that from knowing some of these people, I know that they know that they need to pray. I know that they know that prayer is powerful. They've heard the stories. But we somehow have a disconnect between hearing those great stories of prayer, and putting it practically in our lives. And so, as I pondered on where to start, because I mean, studying prayer could probably be endless, it is vast in some ways, but I think we shouldn't overcomplicate it in other ways. Yes, you can study the nuances of it, you can study each time prayer is mentioned in the Bible, you can study how Jesus prayed, you can study how Jesus told us to pray. Yes, there are many things to study. But don't make it an endless study, number one. Number two, it should be done, probably more than studied. I have read some books on prayer. If you also know me, you know that finishing a book is sometimes not going to happen. There's just, that's just something about me. And it's funny because when I borrowed books from my father, the front one third, possibly a half, is all marked up, and there is nothing in the rest of it. So there must be a gene for that, because we're the exact same way on that. But I've led some Bible studies on prayer, and we're going to probably pull out some of that material in the next few sessions. But for today, I thought there was a couple of things I wanted to convey. Number one, I really appreciated the book that Priscilla Shirer did on, called Fervent, in which she says something that I'm telling you right now. There are lots of books out on prayer, and there are great books out on prayer. But in her book, she says, we're going to pray. And so she talks about prayer a little bit, and then she has cards in the back that you pull, tear out, they're perforated. You tear out the cards in the back, and you write on them right then. In the Bible study that you're doing, or in the chapter that you're reading. And so it was great. I mean, I just appreciated that, obviously, greatly, because many times, even if we have a time at church where we say we're going to, have a prayer meeting or talk about, there's a discussion on prayer, often there's very little prayer that's done. Someone said one time a prayer meeting is the least attended at church. And that just shouldn't be so. But it is. And unfortunately, I am not an expert on prayer. I am not teaching you from a vantage point of I have, I'd say, this great expertise and this a boundless knowledge of it that I get all my prayers answered, which is not necessarily the goal. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I just wanted to present some things to you about prayer this morning. First of all, what is prayer? And I I didn't go out and search all the definitions. I just sat down and thought, basically prayer is an access to God. And I sat and thought about it. And I do this as I work with people who have trauma and emotional needs, even physical. As an occupational therapist, I work with both physical and emotional. But I sit and we see symptoms on the outside, but what is that lower need? That's what you do in the medical field. What is driving those things? If eczema shows up as a skin problem, but from my understanding and reading and talking to people and being with people who've experienced it, it's a gut problem. So there's a root to that, and the root may not show and be manifested as much as those symptoms. So if you think about prayer, we can talk about all the things you do in prayer, but what is prayer at the roots? And prayer is one thing you can say about it is it's access to God. If you think about it, we are mortal, sinful human beings who have no access to God. So if prayer is me talking to God, hold up and let's talk about that for a minute. I mean, let's talk about that one statement. Prayer is a mortal, finite, sinful being having access, not even just talking to, having access to God. Because you can talk to somebody, I could quite possibly, or think about the president. There's reporters that can talk to him, but they don't have access to him. That's a totally different thing. They can ask him questions, they could dialogue back and forth a little bit, but access is something completely different. And we have access. I mean, maybe you haven't figured this out yet. If you've listened to some of my podcasts, maybe you have, or if you know me, there are some times where things just overwhelm me with the depth of what it's conveying. And I just kind of want to sit and camp out in some thoughts. And I think we should. The Bible calls that pondering. It does say ponder the path of your feet, but ponder, it's a word we should bring back. It's an older word that people don't use as much anymore, but let's just ponder that a mortal, finite, sinful being has access to a holy, righteous, all-powerful, all-knowing God. I do want you to sit and think about that for a minute. I don't want this just to be a discourse on prayer where I'm just talking. Think about that for a moment. That should cause a reflexive prayer in you right away. I feel the need to just bow my head, fall on my face, and say, "Oh, dear Heavenly Father, you allow me access to you." It's kind of breathtaking. It draws forth gratefulness, awe, wonder. It just makes something in me change, and it should. Dr. Tony Evans has said it once, and I hope I'm quoting it correctly, but he says, if you don't walk away from prayer changed, then you didn't pray. You see, we kind of tend to think our prayer, that prayer is, I'm going to pray about that. Let's pray about that. I'll pray about that with you. So it's almost like we view prayer sometimes in general as presenting our laundry list of to-do thing of a laundry list of thing of needs. Dear Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm thanking you for being all powerful and all knowing, and I need to talk to you about these things. Dear Lord, I'm praying about such and such. And we tend to go right into that list of what we need. And I confess that for me, sometimes I always start with adoration. But, you know, how long that lasts, I confess that sometimes if I really sit and think about it, I would be in prayer a really long time because, man, could you ever run out of things to thank God for and adore Him for? No. That list would be endless. But that's kind of the point of prayer. Prayer is to, it's not to go to a vending machine and put in something and get something out. It's not to go to Santa Claus and to make your wish list and hope he answers all of the things on the list. Yes, he can answer all the things on the list, technically. But what it's for is for you to realize who you are and who he is. I one time wrote, when we were teaching Sunday school, I was talking about prayer, and I said, prayer is three things. Who is God? Who am I? And who is God? It kind of seemed a little odd, but you talk about who is God, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Then you talk about who am I in relation to it. And then when you talk about who is God again, and you go back to that, that third bullet point there of who is God, after you've thought about him and you thought about you, you're going to say some different things in number three, because you realize the great gulf that separates you from him. I mean, even if you went through and looked at some, just I'm going to name a few, some what we call attributes, they're kind of like characteristics, basically. You know, God is infinite. He doesn't have a beginning and an end. He's the Alpha and Omega, but he is endless, okay? He's immutable. He never changes. He's self-sufficient. He doesn't need anything or anyone. He's omnipotent. He is capable and able. He's all-powerful. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent, everywhere at the same time, always. He's wise. He's sovereign. You know, even on his wisdom. Wisdom, among other things, A.W. Tozer says, is the ability to devise perfect ends and achieve those results, to achieve those ends by the most perfect means. You know, sometimes we say that awful saying, the end justifies the means. No, not with God. God has the ability to devise perfect ends, A.W. Tozer says, and to achieve those ends by the most perfect means. He sees the end from the beginning so there can be no need to guess or conjecture. Wisdom sees everything in focus, each in proper relation to all, and is thus able to work toward predestined goals with flawless precision. I wanted to bring out that one definition for you there, because that's who we have access to. You know, the Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and does not chastise us for asking, and it will be given. You notice it ends with this wonderful statement, it will be given. If any man lacks wisdom, it doesn't say go study. It says ask. Like, when I think of achieving wisdom, I think of lots of studying and lots of living, because that's really wisdom. It's experiential knowledge. You can get head knowledge, but wisdom is experiential knowledge and knowing when to apply and when to not and when to do something and when not. So you go through that usually through experience. So when I think of wisdom, I think it's something that's gotten over a long period of time and a lot of laborious studying. But the Bible says wisdom is accessible through God from God through just asking. Isn't that amazing? God is faithful. More of his attributes. He's good and full of kindness. I mean, another thing A.W. Tozer says, the goodness of God disposes him to be kind, cordial, benevolent, and full of goodwill toward men. He is tender-hearted and quick of sympathy, and his unfailing attitude toward all moral beings is open, frank, and friendly. By his nature, he is inclined to bestow blessedness, and he takes holy pleasure in the happiness of his people. Like, how do you read that and not respond in wanting to fall on your face or just sit there and ponder that statement until you can't sit anymore? I mean, by his nature, he is inclined to bestow blessedness, and he takes holy pleasure in the happiness of his people. We tend to think about our great gulf, you know, but God has made a way for that great gulf to be crossed through a cross. So think about this. Think about a king. Many of you may know the story of Queen Esther, and it's the book of the Bible. And, you know, it was very vivid. If you watch that movie, I watched One Night with the King. And you can't go, as she says, if I go before the king uninvited, I'll die. And then finally she realizes, I'm going to die anyways if someone finds out I'm Jewish. So she says, if I perish, I perish. But I was born for such a time as this, so I will go and plead for my people. So basically she goes before the king, and again, you walk in to the king unannounced, and the guy standing next to him with the big sword is going to let it be your last time to walk into the king unannounced. That's just not what you do. Because of his position, because of who he is. People just don't come and go. It's the king. You know, we know that for offices, president, you know, king of, queen of England. You don't just go walk in. There is a distance between you, and that's in this mortal life, we know that. How much more do we know that with an infinite holy God? And so, you know, if he holds out his scepter, then, you know, your execution has been stayed, and you can speak your mind or talk or who knows what you may be able to do, but you're not dead. But that's the way it is. And so think about, again, let's think about our relation to God. Through Adam, we are all born with a sin nature. So it made our entire image, I mean, our entire race, the human race, separate by a great gulf because of that sin. We cannot, and God cannot tolerate holiness, so we cannot be in his presence. It is a vast difference. So, but you know, thankfully, I'm going to say this word a lot, gratefully, gratefulness is a, should be a standard thing that we have as Christians. Thankfully, he decided he couldn't live without us. You know, we are made in his image. One time I was talking to my daughter, and we were talking about, you know, cows go to heaven. And I'm like, well, I don't think they go to heaven. Do birds go to heaven? No, I don't think they go to heaven. Maybe that's why they're angry. You know, but Jesus didn't die for the cows. You know, we're made in his image. And he looked down. I can't imagine how he felt when he looked down and he, the sin of Adam occurs, and he thinks, I can't, you know, before that it says he walked and talked in the garden with them. Basically, that relationship was lost. And if you know anything about God, God loves people, and God is a God of relationship and unity. And so when that relationship was lost, he didn't want heaven without us, as the saying goes. Now, thankfully, because of his wisdom, he had already made a plan before the sin had ever entered the world, because before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain for us. So he provided a solution before there was ever a problem. Like I say, we say these things, and do we really ponder them? He provided a solution before there was ever a problem. That should make you fall on your face in reflexive prayer. And just what I mean by that is just start spontaneously talking about your gratefulness for who he is and what he has done. And there's a difference between who he is and what he's done. If you've ever studied prayer, maybe you've come across the acronym ACTS. That's the way they talk about doing with prayers. first, A, for adoration, C, for confession of your sins, and T is thanksgiving for what he's done, and then S is for supplication. So basically, your needs, supplication. So, but there's a difference between adoration and confession. It's who someone is and what they've done. You know, this characteristics that we talked about in the beginning, adoration for who he is. And then you can talk about your thankfulness for what he's done. And there's just not enough time to talk about either one. The Bible talks about, because of that sin that Adam brought into our human race, there's no one able to approach him. So that cross that Jesus laid down allows that, because Adam, the first man, did not remain sinless. So he sinned. So Jesus came down as the second man, or causing the second Adam, and he goes through life and he doesn't sin. He has a sinless life. Therefore, he can go down to hell, go to Satan, take back what's rightfully his now, what's rightfully Jesus's, because Adam gave it up legally. So, you know, we might think God could just take it back, take the earth back and all those things, the title deed and that stuff. But, you know, because he's all powerful and Satan's a created being, there's not an equal force. I tell people there's this, you know, picture I've seen before where Jesus and Satan are arm wrestling. I'm like, I'm not sure that's really theologically accurate. There's not a power struggle between Jesus and Satan. Satan is a created being, and he is an angel, was an angel. He's lower. God is God. There's just no one equal to him. So anyways, but legally, because the Bible says, whom you obey is your master, that is who that person is your master. So legally, Adam gave that to Satan because he obeyed him. So Jesus comes down in human form, divests himself of godliness and puts on humanity and walks this sinless life and legally says, I can take it back now. And then he ascends into the heavenlies. Okay, so, and then it talks about us. So where does that leave us in there? I mean, we can go into a lot of different things, but one of the things I want to look at today is that it also says that now we clothe ourselves with Christ Jesus. We wear that robe. Same story in the Bible, same book of the Bible, Esther. You think about Mordecai. There were things that the king gave him. And if the king gave you his robe, or even if he gave you his ring, you could still be dressed in your clothes, not kingly clothes, but you had the king's ring, you were treated just like the king. I mean, it was like the king was there. Isn't that cool? The Bible says that we are to put on Christ Jesus. That's how we approach a holy God. Because if he sees just us, we're gone. We're toast. We're executed. I mean, you know what I'm saying? We can't, sin cannot live in the presence of a holy God. It cannot be there. So we get to go and have access to God. And so think of that. Now, it's spiritual because your feet are still technically here on the ground. I'm right here in human form. But prayer lifts me up into that heavenlies where, I think about this, where I can access, because this is a spiritual battle. This is a spiritual thing that's going on. This is not just physical. The Bible is very clear. We war not against flesh and blood. So we can go and have access to God. And I'm going to kind of wrap it up with this. But think about this. It's not just to go into God just to talk. You know, I mean, think about it. If you go into the queen or the president and you have access, do you just want to sit around and discuss the weather? I mean, you might be nervous enough, that's all you discuss. That may be all you get out. But that's not what you want to discuss. That person has knowledge and access of so many global things and has power to maybe help with something that you have a cause for. And you might think I could ask them to help me. They could be benevolent. They could be kind and generous and give me funds or resources. I mean, you've got everything in front of you when you're sitting with a person, like say they're mortal, but you know what I'm saying? We don't go before God having been granted this access through what Jesus went through and did for us to have an intellectual discourse. Why? We go because God, as I said earlier, is wise. He is wise. He doesn't just have wisdom. He is wisdom. And so you go before a holy God because, you know, we talked about James 1, 5. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, generously, and doesn't chastise us for asking, and it will be given to him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is what we talked about last week. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Okay, if you go back and you look at that verse, that part of that verse that says, in all your ways acknowledge him. You know that word all? It means all. So if he's saying that you can get wisdom by asking, and then he's saying that in all your ways you should acknowledge him and not lean into your own understanding, then you go before God and say, God, I want to know about a situation. I don't have a laundry list to give you of what I need. That's not my point here, because there's a laundry list. But what's more important is, what do I need to do in this laundry list? Because you see the beginning from the end, because you're outside of time and space. You have all infinite wisdom and knowledge of everything that's going on in the world. You know, the Bible talks about a man who builds this bigger barn and it says he's pretty much foolish because that night he's going to die. So you see the beginning from the end. You see all of space and time and everything that's going on. What do I need to do, Father? How do I need to walk in this situation? How do I need to talk? When do I need to talk? What do I need to say? What do I not need to say? God, I need your wisdom for this situation. Because if I speak of what I feel, what I want, I'm probably going to mess it up. And I'm representing you. I'm made in your image, and I don't want to bring shame to your name. Therefore, dear Lord, what, how, when, why? Some of those questions. Now, it's not a list of questioning endlessly, but just sitting there, understanding his heartbeat, his love, his generosity, maybe just as much wisdom as asking questions. And I'll end with this, because you know what? When you sit with someone who's kind and generous and long-suffering, and you read those stories in the Bible, you get a better understanding of how to react and how to act. You get a better understanding of situations. That's why we read our Bible. How did God respond to this situation? How did God respond to so-and-so? How did God respond to the woman caught in adultery? You know, the legalistic way was going to do one thing. Said to do one thing. Jesus responded differently. You read God's word and you spend time with them and say, I want to be like you, then you do those things. But you soak yourself with all the stories of him, all the ways, all of his ways, all of his attributes or his characteristics, and they're all found in his word. All right. I know I've gone a little long this morning. But, you know, prayer, I'm almost speechless. I can't imagine why I get access. Why me? This week, I always try to give you something at the end of Monday's meditation here to ponder for the week until next Monday. But, you know, think about that. Just ponder all week. Who he is, who you are, and then who is he in relation to you? And what is he giving you? What is he offering you? And when you wrap all of that up, You'll be praying all week. It'll just be all week full of thankfulness and gratefulness. And if you need to answer the question of who is God, pull out that Bible. Call me. Get a hold of me. Who is God? And then prayer becomes a spontaneous communication between Almighty God, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, and you. Wow, what a great privilege we have. All right, that is all for today. And thanks for joining me. I'll talk to you next week.